We are a people living in exile. We are foreigners in a strange land. We do live in, much like Daniel, in Babylon. And so in light of that, what ought we to do? I'd ask you to bow with me in prayer. Lord Jesus, we ask you this morning that you would speak to us through your word. Prepare our hearts and minds to hear from you. I ask that you'd fill me with your spirit, that I would only speak your truth. Lord, we'd like to see what you're going to do this morning. I ask that you would help us to be a Bible people. We ask this all in your holy name, Lord Jesus. We love you. Amen. So we've started a new series last week. If you missed that sermon, it's on our website. You can go online and listen to that, or download it and listen to it later. But we started a new series. We are looking to see our personal lives revived in this new year. We're also looking to see our church revived. We want to see this church go another 100 years. That we build on the legacy that's been left to us by folks who faithfully served and ministered in this community over the last 100 years. And so the way that we need to do that, we want to see God work and move in us and through us in this community for us to see another 100 years, is to refocus on the main things. And so we've got to lay a firm foundation, and the only way we can do that is by going back to the Bible. Last week we looked at God's word, we looked at the command to keep it and to do it. Just to refresh real quick, that means we are called to preserve it. That's what keep means. We preserve this in our lives by making sure it's alive in us, by being in it, meditating on it, being in the Word so God can speak to us, and then doing it. This week, we're going to go a little deeper in that because all of this is so that you and I would be a Bible people. This is something that especially Southern Baptists have always identified as part of their heritage. We've always seen ourselves as a Bible people. That doesn't mean that there aren't other denominations out there who don't try to stay faithful to the Bible, but we see ourselves as a Bible people. As Baptists, we've always wanted to remain as faithful to Scripture as we possibly can. That when it comes to the life of faith and how we're to see God, how we're to see ourselves, and the salvation He provides to us through His Son Jesus, we want to stick to the Word. We want to be a Bible people. And so if we want to see our lives revived, we want to see God revive this church, we have to be a Bible people. There's no other way that that's going to take place. We depart from the Bible, we'll die. I can point to every denomination who has walked away from the Word and what God says faith looks like, God says morality looks like, God says this all looks like clearly in His Word. As soon as they departed from the Bible, they've started to die. And those denominations are fighting to keep their doors open in our communities across America. Not only is that true for denominations, that's true for churches. And so, if we want to see our church revived, we want to see our lives revived, we have to be a Bible people. And we're going to be looking at one verse in particular this morning that is probably the clearest statement of what God's Word is and why it's important for us to be a Bible people. It's going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verse 16. And so if you're not there, please stand for the reading of God's Word. You can follow along behind me on the screen. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. You may be seated. This letter that's written, 2 Timothy, is a letter that Paul wrote to a young man he was mentoring. This is believed to be, by most scholars, one of the last pieces or last letters that Paul actually wrote. This is probably one of the latest writings that we have of his in the New Testament. This is towards the end of his life. And he is writing to a young man who he knows is going to continue to carry on the torch for him. And he wants that young man to remember as he moves forward to be faithful to the Lord and faithful in ministry. And so as part of this charge to Timothy, he reminds him not to depart from God's word, that he needs to remain faithful to it, that he needs to be a Bible person, and he needs to be creating a Bible people wherever he goes. That the churches that he is leading ought to be a Bible people. And verse 16 here gives the why. So we're going to look at two reasons why you and I ought to be a Bible people. This passage teaches that the Bible is trustworthy and that it's relevant. Two things that I think we forget most in our culture today is that the Bible is trustworthy and that the Bible is relevant. So what do I mean by him saying it's trustworthy? Well, here in the text, he starts out by saying, in this verse, all Scripture is breathed out by God, or God breathed. And so, now all Scripture, I believe it's clear because Paul references Luke, the book of Luke, in his own writings. Paul saw what him and the apostles were writing during his lifetime and the Old Testament as Scripture. And he is saying clearly here that everything written both in the New and the Old Testament is breathed out by God. Though written by the hands of men, though God used the minds of flawed men, what was written by them is inspired by God. That means that what they wrote has no error in it. And what Scripture says is the same as God saying it. That's what he is saying by saying it's God-breathed. What Scripture said is the same as God tapping you on the shoulder and saying, this is what you need to know about me. This is what you need to know about you. And this is what you need to know if you want to be right with me. This is how you find salvation. This is what faithfulness looks like. All of that is in God's Word that we know as the Bible. And so that's what it means to be trustworthy. That's what Paul is saying here. Now, I want to get right down to what this means for you and my life individually, in our lives as a community of believers, as a church. And so that means, first of all, the implication from this, or one implication we need to remember for our culture today, because this isn't just out in the world, it's in the church, is that if the Bible is trustworthy, if this is the same as God speaking to you and me, then we ought to trust what we're reading more than our own feelings. So I want to elaborate on this a little bit. This means that sometimes we're going to come across things in Scripture. I want to make a couple of qualifications, okay? Sometimes when somebody's teaching from the Word, it doesn't sit well with us. We don't like what we're hearing. Now, there's a legitimate reason that we could feel that way. The first would be, the only reason that that's legitimate is if somebody's mishandling the Word. Some people do take the Word of God and twist it to say what they want to say, and that's not what it's actually saying. Now, the only way you're going to identify that is doing what we talked about last week. If you're preserving the Word, it's alive to you, you're in it, you're meditating on it, you're reading it, it's alive for your life, and you're doing it, you're going to be able to identify when people are mishandling the Word. But if you're not, then it's 9 times out of 10, even if you are, the real reason that it doesn't sit well with you is because you would rather do things that feel right and seem right and work best to your common sense rather than what God's Word is saying. That's the main reason that I and you don't like what we hear being taught from the Word of God, is because as human beings, We'd much rather do what we think works best, or what we think sounds like the best idea, or seems like it would work the best. The truth is, though, we cannot claim to be a Bible people if we're going to trust our own feelings, our own gut, our own mind over the Word of God. And so I want to push on that a little bit. What do you trust to define who you are as a person? God's Word, or what you do with your own two hands? What you make of yourself? What you decide your future is going to be? Do you define who you are, or does God's Word define who you are? Which do you, in practice, treat as more trustworthy? What do you use that shapes your marriage? What kind of husband you are, what kind of wife you are? Is it common sense, what you've seen other people do, what you've seen your parents do, or is it the Word of God? What's most trustworthy to you? Because the thing that you really feel is most trustworthy is what you actually use. What shapes how you parent your children, or interact with your grandchildren? God's Word, or what just comes natural? What works best for you? What shapes your relationships, whether that's dating, or that's a friendship relationship, or coworker, or members in the church? God's Word, or what you've seen done around you? What just comes most naturally? How you see the world and what you do ought to be shaped most by God's Word. But it won't if you don't believe that this is trustworthy. I'm not going to get into all the evidences this morning, but we know that what we have in our hands, based on the evidence that we have over 24,000 different manuscripts dating within 30 to 40 years of the original writings. There's no other historical document in the existence of humanity that has more textual witnesses than the Bible, regardless what you may hear on the Discovery Channel or Nat Geo. People like to skew that, but the truth is, this is what the original authors wrote. We know that. We're 99.9% accuracy that this is exactly what was said. The question is, do you trust it or not? That's really what it comes down to. Do you trust it or not? And also, the Bible is more trustworthy than popular opinion. And I won't spend a lot of time here. This should come. This should go without saying. But the Bible is more trustworthy than popular opinion. You know, the things that the culture values today, it didn't yesterday. The Bible has always challenged popular culture, whether it was 100 years ago or today. There was a time period when, based on race and ethnicity, people were treated like less than human beings in our own country. And that was a sin that the Bible spoke out against, but culture largely ignored, till a few people who were faithful to the Word spoke out about it enough that culture finally listened. It took a war, and it took some laws being implemented many years later, but finally we're beginning to move past that. It's still an issue today, but the Bible clearly speaks that every person, regardless of race, regardless of their gender, is equal in dignity, value, and worth before God. To treat anybody less because of where they come from, because of the color of their skin or their gender, is a sin. Now, in popular culture, that isn't as much of an issue today, because popular culture now is contrary to Scripture in other ways. That a person's choice is more valuable than a person's life. That a person's freedom to choose how they want to express themselves is more important than another person's religious convictions or freedom to worship. that what a person deems appropriate, how they live their lives, is more important than your or I's right to disagree. The Bible speaks out about these things that culture now disagrees with. The Bible clearly states that marriage is between a man and a woman. And I'll get really specific here, because I think this hits home in our culture even more than the gay rights issue or gay marriage, but that sex is only meant between a man and a woman who are married, which is something we like to gloss over and focus on the gay rights issue when we've got folks who are living in sin outside of marriage in our culture. In our conservative culture, that we don't bat an eye about, that doesn't bother us as much as folks who are living in homosexual sin. It's all sin. The Bible clearly states these are how you ought to view life, how you view sexuality, how you view relationships, how you view marriage, and it condemns all of us. And it is contrary to popular culture. Culture will change, but the Bible does not. So what are we going to shape our lives around? What are we going to shape our church around? God's word that is unchanging, or culture where things are different 50 years later, or 10 years later, or 5 years later? The Bible is more trustworthy than popular opinion. So here are the questions that I want you to wrestle with this morning. What do I trust to guide my life of faith? What do I trust most? The Bible? Your gut? Other people? It's what you actually lean on to help you with these things is what you trust most. And then we have to ask ourselves as a church, what do we trust most when we decide what we're going to do as a church? What are we going to trust most? What makes sense? Look, sometimes common sense is a good thing. All the time common sense is a good thing. But common sense does not overrule Scripture. God gave us common sense. He gave us a gut. Sometimes we have to go with those things, but not over and against Scripture. What will we be first and foremost? I pray that we will be a Bible people. Now, but Paul here is saying, look, you be a Bible people, not just because the Bible's trustworthy, but the rest of the verse points out very clearly the Bible's relevant for your life. I know a lot of people treat the Bible like it's a dusty old book that has a bunch of old-timey ideas that really don't fit in today's culture. You know, its views on marriage, its views on women and men, its views on all these things that's old-fashioned. But Paul is arguing here that the word is very relevant for today, and some of the things that people think are old-fashioned weren't really based on the word anyway. When it's based on the word, then it's very relevant. There are 5 things that he points out here that it's relevant for teaching. So that's just instruction for teaching you how you're supposed to think about the world, see yourself, see God. It's beneficial for that. It's profitable is the word he uses here. It's good for that. It's relevant. It's good for rebuke. That's pointing out things that are wrong and messed up and broken in your life and in culture around you. It's also good for correction, which is setting things right. It's the positive side of that. It not only points things out that's wrong, it shows you how they ought to be right, how to set them right. And then finally, it's for instruction in righteousness. That means equipping you to walk the walk of faith that is most pleasing and show you what's most pleasing to God, how your life ought to look to make God look good to a lost and dying world. I think the reason why we struggle with the Bible being relevant and the church being relevant we think that this, we just can't relate anymore to culture, is because we're not Bible enough. It's not that this has become outdated, it's that we've ceased to rely on this to guide and shape us. Because the Bible never ceases to be relevant, though you and I do. And we cease to be relevant when we cease to be biblical. The Bible speaks into your life what it should look like every day. And so the reason you and I cease to be relevant in a community around us that really impacts people for Jesus is because our lives are more shaped by how we think things ought to be, what feels comfortable for us. This is just who I am. I was born this way, or maybe this is just what I'm, this is just me. How we were raised, where we come from, what we've seen other people around us do, our heroes and culture. We shape our lives more around those things than the Bible. Because if our lives were shaped biblically, we would still be relevant to people around us. We would still be impactful to the people around us, because we would have abundant and vibrant spiritual walk of faith. It would just ooze out of us. We would be constantly engaging people around us in conversation about Jesus, and we'd have something fresh and new to say to them. If we were treating the Bible like it's relevant for our own life. The reason we're not relevant to people around us is we're not treating the Bible like it's really relevant for our lives. We treat it like, I've got this, or, well, I've got the main ideas, I've got, you know. We treat it like it's got nothing new to say to us. But it does. This may not, I'm going to go a little deeper here. I think one of the reasons why we treat this like it doesn't have anything new to say to us is we want this to be a magic eight ball. I don't know if those were popular when I was in school. You know, the things you shake up and you ask a question and a little deal pops up and it might say yes, no, maybe, try again later. We treat the Bible like our magic eight ball. And we don't think it's relevant because it's not answering the questions that we really want answered in our life. And you want to know why that is? You want to know why the Bible doesn't have the answers maybe that you are most desperately seeking? Is because you're trying to make this about you, and it's not. This is not about you. Church is not about you. And if you've given your life to Jesus, your life is not about you. It's about Him. And the reason why most of the time we can't have our questions answered is because we're trying to make everything about us when it needs to be about Him. This doesn't answer all the questions in life, but it answers all the ones that you need to know. Sometimes we don't have our questions answered in the Word because we're not asking the right questions. You and I, we have to, you need to see that this is relevant. Look, one of the ways that you know that you're treating the Bible relevant or not, or whether you're treating it like a magic eight ball, how do you read it? So do you do this? Well, I need to do my Bible reading today. I've been guilty of doing this. That looks like a good place to start. Ooh. We'll punish Jacob, repay them according to their deeds. No, that doesn't look like that apply. I think I'll read here. This looks good. And this is just how you treat it. I've done that. But what you're revealing in that moment is you're like, God, let me shake this and see if you'll speak to my life. Instead of pulling it up and saying, you know what, I'm going to commit to reading through a book or reading through one specific story. I'm going to find a starting place and see all the way through what you have to say. Because what you have to say about you, about the world, about salvation, once I realize that what you have to say here is important, then I can begin to understand how it applies to my life. That this is not about me. This is about you. Sometimes these stories that don't seem like they have anything to do with us are there to show us that this has nothing. That this is not about you. They're written the way they're written for a reason. And your job as a Bible person is to find out what that reason is. And then it becomes applicable to your life, not before. The Bible's written to orient yourself to God and making sure that you see that your life, that this creation, that His Word is all about Him for His glory. His glory alone. When you get that, He begins to speak to your life because you're oriented correctly. And He begins to answer the questions that matter most for your life that you weren't asking before when you were trying to make it about you. The Bible's relevant because it's true, not the other way around. How we teach it. So how are you treating the Bible? Are you treating it like it matters for your life? It's another way of saying relevant. Are you treating the Word like you need it? Because you do. You're fooling yourself if you think you can go without it. And I'm talking about more than just a 30-minute sermon on a Sunday morning. It's not enough. Even if you came every time our doors were open, you're not getting it enough to live the life of faith. Are you treating it like it matters for your life? Pray that you are. As a church, I would argue that if we don't think that we're relevant, you think we have a difficult time being relevant in today's culture and in this community, I would argue it's because we're not serious enough about being shaped by God's Word. We may have all the right ideas, but look, being a Bible people is not just being filled up with a bunch of head knowledge. There are a lot of churches that call themselves Bible people that are not relevant to the community around them. You can be filled with head knowledge and still not look like Christ in the world, still not live like Him, still not be impactful like He was, because your mind may be shaped by the Word, but your heart's not and your actions are not. What I'm saying is, if we as a church are not being shaped by God's Word in the way that we think, in the way that we see ourselves, and in the way that we desire things, what we're chasing after, in the way that we are doing things in our community, if we're not being biblical about it, we're not going to be relevant. And that goes the other way too. If we're not being relevant, it might be because we're not being shaped enough by the Word. But during our time of invitation this morning, I want you to pray. Ask God to help you see clearly whether you are treating the Word like it's trustworthy, like it's something that you're willing to lean on and shape who you are and what you do with your life. I want you to ask God to speak to you and show you whether or not you are treating God's Word like it matters, like it's relevant. And I ask you this morning during our time of invitation that you would commit to being a Bible person, that we as a church would commit together to be a Bible people, so that God would work in us and through us and impact this community for Christ. During our time of invitation, you move as the Lord leads. I'm going to pray, and then we'll have our time of invitation. So if you would stand, I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, we want to ask you this morning to reveal our hearts, to help us, give us eyes to see where our hearts truly are, where our mind truly is, where just that we can just clearly see ourselves. We deceive ourselves all the time into thinking we're something we're not. Help us to clearly see whether we treat your Word as trustworthy in our lives, whether we treat your Word as relevant in our lives, and whether we're treating it as trustworthy and relevant in our church. Because we want to see you revive our spiritual walk. You would revive our lives, that we'd be filled with you, that we would be just filled with joy at the work that you're doing in us and through us, individually and as a church. I ask if there's anyone here this morning who maybe has realized they've never been a Bible person, they've never really had a relationship with you, that you would move them to step out in faith this morning and become a person of God, that they would come to know this morning when they leave this place that they have a relationship with you, and they would see their need for your word in their life. I ask all of this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.